Hey, I'm going to talk about making eye contact today. You can tell a lot about a person and how they're feeling if you really study their face. I know studying a person's face is one wonderful thing. Faces do reveal a person's mood often, you know, expression, whether it be happiness or sadness or anger or just annoyance. There's nothing like personal face-to-face communication. You know, when Kim was in China for 2 weeks, we were able to use a program like Skype that they use in China called WeChat and be able to see each other, you know, through the phones or the computer. But I got to tell you, even with that wonderful technology, there's nothing that replaces the real thing, you know, the face-to-face communication. There really isn't. And today, you know, we want to talk about how God calls us to seek His face for the same reason, because He desires that kind of intimate, personal relationship with us. And so, as you know, we're on a series that is called Living the God-Centered Life. And so today I want to talk about how God-centered people seek God's face. Amen? You heard the joke about the little girl in kindergarten that was drawing a picture, and the teacher said, "What are you drawing?" And the girl said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Well, nobody knows what God looks like." And the little girl looked up and said, "They will when I'm done." You know, seeking God's face. Peniel. Do you know that word, peniel? There's an actual wonderful ministry in Johnstown. I haven't been in touch with it for a long time, but it's a drug and alcohol rehabilitation program. Now, like I said, I haven't touched base for a couple of years, but the last time I did, they actually had like a 98% success rate in rehabilitation, which is highly unusual. You know, normally the court-ordered, the court-mandated programs, especially outpatient programs, are abysmal in regard to their effectiveness for drug and alcohol rehabilitation. But peniel is different for two reasons. And I'm not giving them a plug, it's just that peniel means the face of God. And it reminded me of that today. But they are successful because, number one, it's inpatient, but number two, not only is it a year-long program, it's a mandatory year-long program, but it is God-centered. It is God-centered. Makes all the difference in the world, right? But yeah, it was actually Jacob who wrestled with God, if you remember in the scriptures. And as he did, he declared the place that was taking place in, peniel. And he said, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So peniel means God's face. And that's what we're called to seek. David penned these words in Psalm 27. He said, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart," listen to this, "my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek." Isn't that beautiful? That word face is the Hebrew word panim, which sometimes in your Bible is translated presence, God's presence, but it literally means God's face. It was the Hebraic or Jewish way, the ancient Jewish way of saying having special access to God, special access to God. Literally, it means being able to be in God's face. In other words, in His presence in a way that you know He's making that contact and you're making that contact with Him. God calls us to seek His face because He calls us to seek a personal encounter with Him, an encounter with Him. You know, we worship a God that is not just a concept. We worship a God that is indeed a person. He is real, and He is alive and vibrant and dynamic. And you know, God calls us to view Him not just as a concept of God way up there somewhere, but to seek Him personally in relationship and to seek Him with our heart, as we sang today, which means we seek Him in love, both from His love poured into our hearts and then our love responding. And we seek literally to gaze, and listen to this, to gaze at His beauty, the psalmist wrote, David wrote, to gaze at His beauty. Now, that's an amazing thing because, as I said, no one has ever seen, you know, the face of God. But yet, by God's Spirit, when we worship, we gaze at His beauty. Amen? As we worship, we gaze at His beauty. That's what He desires us to do when we truly seek Him and seek His face, you know? I remember when we were early married, Kim and I, you know, we had just a few disagreements over the years. But one of them took place around me not really listening to her when she was talking to me. Yeah, I heard some laughing there going on. But, you know, the reality was is that, you know, she, Kim, one thing about Kim, she'll tell you what's on her mind, you know what I mean? And she had said, look at me when I'm talking to you. Make eye contact, right? Show me that you know, that I know you're listening to me. Amen? And that, I remember those days, and it was a good lesson. I won't tell you about the time when she actually stood in between me and the TV set when I was watching the Steelers play. It was not pretty, I'll just say that, but she made her point, huh? She made her point. Amen. But to be present with somebody is for you to face them and for you to seek their face, to look into their face, right? Listening, right, to the expressions, to the inclinations, reading their body language, right? Making eye contact, seeking face. Yeah. You know, I had to go to the doctor's just a couple of months ago, and I got to tell you what really disturbed me is that when it's a he for me, he walked into my office. I usually actually see the PA, who's a woman, but the doctor came in this time, and he came in carrying his laptop computer. And he literally did one of these things. You know, he opens the door, and he says, hi, Mr. Bennett, and never looked up, right? And there was a chair right beside the door that he sat down in, and he proceeded to interview me with his computer, never making eye contact. And honestly, in the short five-minute times that he was there, because the nurse did the vitals, you know, he rarely looked up. And when he left, I felt awful. I felt like I had been shorted. You know what I mean? I felt like he wasn't paying attention to me. It was like I felt slighted or ignored. Huh. And I got the same bill. Yeah. But you see, the thing is that when we're called to seek God's face, we're literally called to seek Him in a way that is deliberate and in a way that is focused. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Focused on Him. See, that's the thing. Focused on Him. Not just on what you want from Him. Now, believe me, I've been doing a lot of prayerful requests to God these last 2 weeks. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with seeking God for the things that you need. He tells you to. Amen? But when we're seeking God's face, it's more than just coming to Him with a list of wants in your prayer, and that's it, right? Seeking God's face is not just coming to Him with that quick prayer of wants. It's wanting to be with Him. It's wanting to be with Him. You know, a lot of people, the only times that they come to God is when they have needs. And God doesn't want that, you know. He doesn't want to be viewed like a cosmic vending machine. And some people view Him like that. Instead of a personal being that desires intimate relationship, personal relationship with His people. And that's what it means, you know, to seek God's face, not just His hands. Do you understand that? You know, His hands are what He can give you, but His face is Him, right? His face is Him. God-centered people seek God's face, not just His hands. God-centered people worship God for who He is, seeking and acknowledging His presence continuously and in an increasing way enjoying God's presence. Huh? I could have worshiped forever this morning. I could have just stayed and worshiped forever this morning. And you know, there's nothing wrong if we do that. Right? Sometimes we can come here, we can worship for hours, and there's nothing wrong. It's actually in God's presence that true blessings flow. Out of God's presence, true blessings flow. When the ancient Hebrews truly worshiped the one true God and sought His face, they sought that He would turn to them with His favor and let His face shine upon him. The prayer of blessing that God taught Aaron, the first high priest, right, to pray a blessing upon his people, it's called the Aaronic blessing, Aaron's blessing. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons who would follow him, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Oh, how good is that? But aren't we always in God's presence? Yes and no, right? Yes and no. Yes, I guess in two senses. You know, first, the sense that God is omnipresent, He's everywhere. That'd be true, right? He's everywhere. He holds everything in the power of His being. And yes, He promises to always be present with His children who are in covenant relationship, covenant communication with Him, right? He even said, Jesus said, behold, I am with you to the end of the age, right? As He was leaving to go back up into heaven. But there's a sense when God's presence is not always with us. God's manifest, conscious, trusted presence is not always our daily experience. For this reason, God's Word, His Spirit, repeatedly calls us to seek Him diligently, seek His face, seek His presence continuously, because God knows that there are seasons in our lives when we become neglectful of seeking God's face. Huh? And we don't give Him the thought that He desires. We don't feel His presence with us strongly. We're not seeking that manifest presence, that focused, you know, presence in our lives. That brightness of His character becomes hidden beneath all the worries and cares of our life and the obstacles and trials that we face every day. And we lose the sense of God's presence. That's why God calls us back, right? He calls us back into His presence to seek Him, to seek Him. God calls us to enjoy a continual expression of His presence in our daily lives where we live. Right, and work and breathe, and every day. It's what happens when we truly seek, continually seek. You know, what does that mean practically for you? You know, the Bible makes it very clear that we're supposed to set our minds on God, to set our heart on Him. That's what it says, like 1 Chronicles 22. Set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, in the book of Colossians, it says this, because you've been raised with Christ, set your mind on things that are above, right? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind there on things that are above, not just on the things that are in earth. He calls us to be more aware of His presence, more aware of Him in our lives. The setting your mind on God is the opposite of just mental coasting, right? Mental coasting. Here's an illustration. We have moved to Hollidaysburg, you know, what, 12, 13, 14 years ago now. But I'm always, every day practically, there's rarely a day that I'm not driving I-99 to Bedford, I'm always here. But I-99, right, is a pretty straight shot between Altoona and here. So for me, after doing it for so many years, day after day, it is a mindless drive. You know what I mean? Now, this is like mental, what I'm talking about when I'm saying mental coasting. It's almost like it's autopilot for me. You know, I'm driving down the road. If anybody sees me, that's why I'm eating cereal or but it is. It's like an easy drive, right? I can actually put my mind on other things. Kim doesn't like it when I do that when she's with me. But you know what I mean. It doesn't take a lot of thought for me to be, you know, I hit cruise control and there I go. That's the thing, you know. It'd be different if I was on an unfamiliar curvy mountain road, you know, and the fog started coming in. Then you focus, right? And so that illustration is to help us understand the difference between seeking God's face and just that rote, repetitious, you know, prayer that we throw up at God once in a while. Or even daily, you know. I know a lot of people that daily pray, but their prayers have become so rote and repetitious, and, you know, it's almost like they're mentally coasting when they're praying. That is not seeking God's face, just so we're clear. Huh? That's the opposite. Seeking God's face is something that is a conscious, deliberate effort, right? That pays such great rewards, though. Oh, indeed. But let's face it, you know, there are obstacles in our daily lives that want to, you know, come against us when we're trying to focus on God, when we're trying to do what the Scriptures say, seek His face, to be aware of His presence all the time. We all have obstacles in our life. And you know what I was thinking about when I was working on this sermon is those obstacles in our lives, and everybody has them, right? You could name them, but they're different usually for people, right? Those obstacles for us today are like the veil was to the Israelites in the Old Covenant. You remember the veil? You remember that? You know, when God appeared to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments and then wanted to fellowship with his people, this was before Christ, B.C., right? This was before Jesus did what he did. So access to God by sinful people was limited. But God didn't want to be absent, so God had prescribed that very special way, if you remember, when he told Moses to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. And if you remember that picture of the tabernacle, right? You came and you saw the altar of a burnt offering, right? And then the offerings were made, and the priests had to wash in the laver of the big pond of water. And then they could go into the first container, the first part of the tent that was called the holy place, and there was the table with the bread of the covenant there, and over here was the lampstand, the menorah, the Jewish menorah, the lampstand that was lit. And then you came to the altar of incense. But right behind the altar of incense was a thick curtain that separated now the holy place from the most holy place, where literally God's presence would manifest, his Shekinah presence would come and manifest itself there on the Ark of the Covenant, that beautiful chest that was overlaid with pure gold and that had the cherubim, the angels, you know, on the covering, and the angels facing each other with their wings right almost meeting in the middle. And it's on that spot that was called the mercy seat that funnel cloud of God's presence would come and dwell. But only the high priest, in the prescribed way, was permitted to enter through that veil into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. How wonderful it is for us that we have a high priest that took that veil and rent it from top to bottom and made accessible to us the very presence of God. How incredible that is, and how we should never take that for granted. that we have access to the throne room of God, to the presence of God, to the Holy of Holies. Indeed, if you can receive it, we are now the Holy of Holies. That we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? The presence of God. Huh. So for us, right, we have to learn how to be able to deal with the obstacles of life that yet lest they become the veil for us that separates us from feeling God's presence. For us today, we have to learn how to get around those obstacles. Now, we sang about today, you know, that there is no wall that God won't kick down. But how about you? Can the same be said of you? You know, are you making effort to remove the obstacles in your daily routine that inhibit you from feeling God's presence, from seeking His face? That's what we're talking about this morning, right? Seeking God's face. You know, we all are probably familiar with the story of Mary and Martha in the Scriptures, you know, in the Gospels, in Luke's account. It says that, you know, Mary was there, right, sitting at the feet of Jesus when He was teaching, and Martha was busy preparing the meal for Jesus, and Martha, in the process, became pretty upset and went in to Jesus and said, "Tell my sister to give me a hand." Do you remember Jesus' words? "Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but only one is required. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." Do you know what the better part was? Being in the presence of God. And you know, there's been lots of sermons Luther done on the Martha, you know. And it's not that Jesus loved Martha any less than Mary. Right? But Martha had missed the better part in the midst of being focused only on the work that was at hand, right? The better part. That's what seeking God's face is, choosing the better, right? That's what seeking Him means. Huh. Open my eyes, Lord. Pull back the curtain of my own spiritual blindness that I may see You. That I may see You. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Remember that song we used to sing? Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take a coal, touch my lips. Here I am, right? What's that part about, I long to feel Your presence, but it's only found in one place, right? In His presence, yeah. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, you know. He said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart be opened, that you would know God better." And that's what we're talking about. When we're seeking God's face and we find it, the eyes of our heart is what's open to gaze upon His beauty. The revelation of God. This is the difference between a God-centered worshiper, amen, and just somebody goes through the motions. Hey, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I sing a couple of hymns and I'm good for the day, you know. We've been talking in Bible study about how that's not the kind of worshipers that God desires, that relegate Him to the box. Remember, Joanne, the box, a check mark. I've done my religious duty, you know. Oh, my gosh. You know, try that out on your wife sometimes, you know. Hey, I said I loved you today. Check marks. I did my duty. See how that works out for you? I know it's relationship that God seeks. Seek His face. You know, just like in marriage, God desires your passionate worship. Passion. That's a good word, isn't it? Passion. The foundation for drawing closer to God is to have a holy passion for Him. You know, I do love worship, and I don't pay attention much to what people do when they're worshiping, because I'm worshiping. But I know, you know, that there are some of you that just passionately love to be in God's presence. And it feels so good to come to that level, to come to that point where where you really are entering in, huh? You're really feeling God's presence with you. Passion is born from a love of God. Right? Passion is born out of being so thankful that you've come to know how great He is and how good He is. That's why those songs are so moving that we sing when we sing about His reckless love and about how He's a good, good Father. You know, you are good all the time. Passion comes from a choice to seek after God in the good and the bad times. When we're strong and when we're weak, amen. The fire of desire for God comes when we're seeking His face and we enter in, we're finding communion with Him, right? But to do that, it's a willful action. You know, we must set our wills, our minds on Him every day. We must make it a great habit to seek His face. And as we do, you know, as we continue to seek Him more and more, you know, we begin to find Him. We begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we long for more. That's the thing with God, you know. You experience some and, wow, you want more. We live in a really busy world, and all around us are noises, right? Oh, and voices that become distracting. Right? We can't let those things, though, destroy those intimate times of fellowship with God that we need every day. Now, I know that we got to figure practical ways how to do this because we're working, we're doing other things, we're busy. But, you know, the Bible is not unclear on this part of seeking Him continuously, praying continuously. You can learn to do that no matter what you're doing. I loved it, Dan, when you were working on the building, you know, for Kim. And all the time, you know, there was either Scripture playing or worship music playing, you know. It's that they enjoyed that. It was a reminder of God's presence daily. And it was a blessing, I know. You know, when we consciously make that effort to seek God, we are repenting. We're turning to Him, right? There's a great passage in Isaiah chapter 59. I'll read it really quickly. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear." It says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear, and neither do you." Huh? We've got to realize that repentance can be a daily practice, right? When we catch ourselves not seeking, not focused. Repent simply means to do an about face, to turn and face Him. And that's what He wants. And we'll always find Him there. You remember the scripture. We should all understand this scripture for our nation today that says, "If my people," say it with me, "who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways," right? "And seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Isn't it interesting that right in the middle of that scripture says, right, "Seek my face." That's what God desires. You know the wonderful thing is there's a great promise that is attached to it. The great promise throughout all the scriptures, Old and New Testament, is that those who seek Him find Him. If you seek Him, even in 1 Chronicles 28:9, if you seek Him, He will be found by you, right? Hebrews, the great faith chapter, right? Without faith, it says it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him, right, which means draw near to Him, must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We come to know that God Himself is our greatest reward. Oh. Because when we have Him, we have everything. That's not just a trite saying. Huh? David understood this, right? He cries out in Psalm 119:57, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have sought your face with all my heart." No wonder God called him a man after his own heart. Ah, he says in Psalm 4, "Many are asking, who can show us any good?" And then the answer was, "Let the light of your face shine upon us, Lord, to remind us that you are good all the time." He says, "You filled my heart with greater joy than when the grain and the new wine abound. Then I will lay down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Wonderful, beautiful difference between the Old Testament and the New is really focused on this issue. That we who are God's true worshipers, who seek Him in spirit and in truth, right? We find Him in a deeper way than was ever possible in the Old Covenant. Even David, who we just read, had an obvious close relationship, intimate relationship with God. We have greater access to God today than David ever had. David, who for some amazing way, Kimmy, was able to go in that makeshift tabernacle, if you remember, the tabernacle of David before, you know, Solomon's temple was ever created, and sit in the presence of God, even though it was prescribed that only the high priest was allowed in. Somehow David was able to be in God's presence and live. What a relationship he had. But you have greater access than David ever had because of what Jesus did for you. It says in Hebrews, that chapter, right? We can draw near to God with full assurance, full confidence now, because we have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have been cleansed from a guilty conscience. So that when we come in seeking God's presence, we don't have to be looking over our shoulder that the death angel will strike us down. Oh, people. Christ has made it possible for you to enter into His very presence, to feel His presence, and not only live, but live abundantly. Enjoy the blessings of the new covenant that were never available to those in the old. I love this word study, you know, when I was looking up seeking. To seek literally means, now listen to this as we wrap up this morning. To seek literally means to find out what's missing. You know, here's what I want to tell you to close today. Right now in your relationship with God, if you feel that something's missing, the clear answer is seek, and you will find out what's missing. You will find Him. Amen? Can we do that this morning as we close? Can we close this with a time of seeking? Amen? Can we do that? Can we just take the time this morning to once again enter in and be able to experience that presence? And if you're here this morning and you know something's missing, I'll tell you what, it can be found today. An intimate, personal relationship with God. You can enter in. You do the about face, right? You turn and you turn to God. And you find Him then with arms open wide, ready to offer you the hand of forgiveness and grace. But more, to offer you a deeper relationship with Him, a deeper experience of who He is. If you will but seek His face. Stand with me this morning and let's do that. Let's find out what's missing. Let's focus on Him. The more we seek, the more we find Him. Hey church, the altar is always open this morning. If you desire to worship here, come. But even where you are, wherever you are, God knows. And He's so desirous to reveal more of Himself to you. Turn to Him this morning. Seek His face.